You're listening to FCUM Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Ray. Welcome to the MCA for the 15th hour. I'd like to now introduce you to Anthony.
Broaders Park. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? The Rammy Rattler? Perhaps, maybe. When 44 turns into 64, you may get my concerns. I'm Anthony Reeves, and these are my views on our new ground in Moston.
I'm at my love by the gasworks wall. Dream the dream by the old canal. I kiss my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town.
What it would mean to me, easy to get to, by bus, walking 15 minutes. A short bus ride is okay for me, not for some. A place I can stand with my friends, old and new, to put Moston on the map, it needs it. Renew life back into the area, definitely needs it. I think for Moston itself it will be great, for FC even better. All I can say is, we will be glad it's done and finished, and once we're there, we will turn into the club that everybody will want to be. I'm Anthony Reeves, that's my view.
I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.
Right, we'll turn you over to Lalita, who's doing this week a film review. Over to you.
Thank you, Anthony. This week, amidst the plethora of kiddie films, CGI and science fiction films, there's one film worth talking about for us adults. It's out now at AMC Cinemas Manchester. It's called While We Are Young, starring Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried.
They made a house out of twigs and the wolf came.
He blows it down.
Yeah, but what happens in the middle?
Keep wanting to do this little piggy went to market, but that's with the toes.
I didn't know you guys wanted kids.
You guys should do it.
Yeah.
You would make such good parents.
I really loved your film. There's that scene with the dogs around the garbage. How did you stage that?
I said, hey, shoot those dogs.
Beautiful. You want to come get a bite with us?
Why do you suddenly want to hang out with a couple of 25-year-olds?
We were just 25. I mean, we weren't, but, you know, it'll be fun.
It's about a 40-something working couple who are childless and find themselves stranded as all their friends start to have children and their activities have become all focused on their kids. The couple then befriend a youngish couple in their 20s and discover the world in many new ways. They also face up to the fact that they're getting older and that their halcyon days of youth are well past them. The film explores the nostalgia that most 40-somethings experience as they embark on that journey to mature adulthood and eventual old age. There's a certain wistful quality to the film that's truly endearing. And for all those naysayers out there, it's not a typical Ben Stiller film with visual gags and gross humour. It is quietly sarcastic and introspective and very engaging from the get-go. The characters are all likable, mostly, and it's definitely worth a watch. And Naomi Watts, despite her fragile appearance, adds a dignified gravitas to her role as a childless woman trying to find fulfillment in her life. Ben Stiller's character, too, works very hard as a documentary filmmaker trying to find recognition while at the same time not giving up on his integrity. On the whole, it's a very enjoyable film that's about human relationships and friendships, with nary an android, video game, or robot in sight, thankfully.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you may be aware, this is Richie Beno's final test match in England as a commentator for Channel 4. He's just finished a spell of commentary at the Vauxhall End. I'm sure you'd like to join the England and Wales Cricket Board and Surrey County Cricket Club in acknowledging the great contribution that Richie has made to cricket, not only in this country, but around the world. Richie, our thanks and best wishes.
And now, for our special tribute to Richie Beno, who passed away today, here's John.
Hello. Yes, as you'll have seen in major news media, the news broke today of the death of the Australian cricketer and cricket commentator Richie Beno. He passed away in his sleep overnight. Now, Richie Beno's distinctive voice in commentary was an enduring presence for much of my own life. However, there was also a connection to my family that went back even earlier. His first tour of England as a test cricketer was in 1953, the year of my birth, and that was also the last tour of England by the legendary pace bowlers Ray Lindwall and Keith Miller. At that time, my grandfather was working for Thomas Cook, the travel firm. He was given the job of looking after the travel arrangements for the Australian touring party while they were in England. One of my grandfather's treasured possessions that I remember from my own childhood was a commemorative programme from this tour, which had been autographed by all the Australian players. Richie Beno made his test debut towards the end of the 1951-2 Australian season. It was the fifth test of a home series against the West Indies. Australia were already 3-1 up. They were assured of victory in that series, so it was a good time to try out some of their emerging young players. Beno had attracted the selectors' attention not only for his leg spin bowling, but also as an aggressive middle-order batsman. He was selected again for part of the home test series against South Africa the following year, before his inclusion in the 1953 party to tour England, which I mentioned. He went on to captain Australia in 28 tests between 1958 and 1964, losing only 4 of those. He had 12 wins, 11 drawn and 1 tied. In 1963, he became the first player ever to reach the double landmark of 2,000 runs and 200 wickets in test matches, a remarkable achievement for a test all-rounder. His involvement with the media overlapped with his playing career. It started with a BBC presenter training course at the end of a tour to England in 1956, and that was followed by work in print journalism, then a move into radio, and finally by the TV commentary for which he became best known. However, his media career was not just confined to England and Australia. His highly distinctive style of commentary, concise, informed and dryly laconic, quickly made him loved throughout the cricketing world. My colleague Lalitha first heard him as a child when she was growing up in India. Lalitha, what are your own memories of Richie Beno?
Oh yes, I'm not too aware of his cricketing career as a bowler batsman, yeah. But yes, when I did hear his voice on BBC radio for the first time, it was his commentary that got my attention, because it was very different from anything that I'd heard so far, and he was so different from all the other commentators. And all my family, my father, my uncles, were really keen on listening to his commentary, because it was so contemplative, and the keen analysis that he brought to the game was something unique at that time, and it still continues to be, isn't it? So,
yes, I think many people felt, you referred to his analysis of the game, I think many people felt he set a kind of new benchmark for standards of commentary.
I would say he still is the gold standard for cricket commentary in the world. I mean, there is no one like him, and he's probably the only Australian cricketer that we've ever loved. I'd have to say that. It's something we have to agree on.
That might even be true in England. And we're going to finish by hearing in his own words.
And that's what it is, so far as I'm concerned. Time to say goodbye. I can add to that. Thank you for having me. It's been absolutely marvellous for 42 years. I've loved every moment of it, and it's been a privilege to go into everyone's living room throughout that time. What's even better, it's been a great deal of fun.
Okay, if you're going to be out and about at all this weekend, you might be looking for ideas where to go, what to do. I'm going to hand over to Maggie, who's going to say a little bit about
what's on offer and what you can find if you get out of doors in the Manchester area.
Walk tall. Walk tall. Walk straight and look.
Greetings, y'all. Right. Now, our walk today is starting with a good old Yankee greeting, because we're celebrating the fact that Manchester is not only the second most popular tourist destination in England, but in a recent Google consumer survey to find out how well known the city is outside of the UK and Europe, we were also placed second by American consumers. Birmingham, Manchester's only competitor for the title of England's second city, didn't get a mention. Not surprisingly, the top spot for tourists was London, but Manchester lost the top spot for consumer knowledge of English cities to Liverpool's Beatles factor. And as we continue our walk today along the Transpennine Way to Chawton Water Park and onwards to Istanbul, that's going east for those of you who are not familiar with the area, the opposite direction to Liverpool and Southport. I want to make a plea to the powers that be that sunny Stretford, along which the Transpennine Way wends its merry way, be renamed Stretford-on-Mersey. Now, Stretford and Stratford have the same meaning, a place where you can ford the river. And Stratford-on-Avon, the birthplace of William Shakespeare, places great emphasis on its riverside location. So come on, you guys, another Americanism that's taking over from blokes, or if you're a softer southerner, chaps, let's lay claim to the River Mersey. Now, instead of crossing the bridge to the pub, we're going to join the path going east as we head for the hills. Remember, we're sharing the path with cyclists and dogs, so keep one eye on those distant Pennine Hills, the hills for which we can thank Manchester's weather and its wonderful skin moistening properties, and any and all spare eyes on the route ahead. Our walk now takes us beneath Manchester's newest metro line, which links the city centre to Wythenshawe and Manchester Airport. And should you feel energetic, you can cross the next bridge to what used to be the Cheshire side of the River Mersey and make your way to the airport, a leisurely 9-mile walk via Wythenshawe Park. At this point, the river is bookended by two golf courses, and depending on the level of the river, we should shortly get a view of some of Manchester's rapids. Now, for those of you who've never heard of the Mersey Rapids, I just want to share a tale of four RAF guys who came to visit Manchester about 10 years ago, and they'd come to shoot the rapids. Now, I'd just returned from a trip down the Murray River in Australia, and they're pretty sizeable rapids there. So I wasn't aware we had any rapids in Manchester. But these four guys, with their kayaks, took part in a competition, experienced kayakers, and three of them actually went over and had a swim in the River Mersey. So they're quite challenging rapids, perhaps because at the time there was so little water in there, that might have been a contributing factor. We're not going to go too far today. We're going to just head into Chawton Water Park, which is aimed at fishers. We'll pass a beautiful woodland area on our left, which was a tip. So probably a good collection of methane coming out of there at certain points, but it's now beautifully landscaped. And we can walk all the way around Chawton Water Park and bring us back, stopping, of course, for an ice cream, bring us back onto the River Mersey. And at this point, we can cross the river or we can carry on heading for Istanbul. At some point, the Transpennine Way is supposed to meet up with a walkway throughout Europe that will get you all the way down to Istanbul. But they don't, most of Europe doesn't have the rights of way that we have. But fortunately, by the time they do complete it, you'll probably no longer need a Kalashnikov to get down to Istanbul. Anyway, look forward to hearing from you next week, or perhaps that should be the opposite way around. Thanks for listening.
Walk straight and look the world right in the eye. Walk tall, walk straight and look the world right in the eye. Walk tall.
Hi, so this is Maggie. We're going to be returning to the subject of walking with Claire a little later in the programme. But first we have Shahira, who's going to explain to us a little bit about the mores of social networking and social media.
Thank you very much, Maggie. Okay, social media. Let's just start with a definition. Social media are actually computer-based tools that allow people of similar interests or background to connect. Social media tend to be used for a variety of reasons, from building an online presence to sharing an experience, perhaps, or feeling that you might have. It could also be used as career opportunities and could even bring income. Social media takes on many different forms, such as blogs, forums, videos, or photo sharing. Social media tend to be used by businesses, non-profit organizations, and of course even individuals. On plus sides, social media tend to provide opportunities to reach a wider audience. They can support educational context and they can act as a platform to share achievements. But like many other things in life, unfortunately, there are some negative sides associated with social media as well. To name a few, trustworthiness and reliability of information presented. And also cyberbullying, unfortunately, which we've seen quite a few examples of that recently. And the possibility of children being exposed to unsuitable images. Nevertheless, social media, there are powerful tools that can be used for networking and for connecting to others. A few examples of different social media sites would be blog sites or perhaps Facebook, that is used for any sort of general context. It can be used for sharing photos and videos and even blogs. It was launched in February 2004. Flickr, which is another site, is a photo sharing, and it tend to be used for just sharing photos and commenting on photos. And it was launched on February 2004. Google Plus, it can be used for many different purposes. And we also have Twitter, which is a short version of blogs, perhaps microblogs, you could call it. And it was launched in 2006. And we have LinkedIn, which is used for businesses and usually used for professional networking, basically. And we also have YouTube, which is most of us tend to be familiar with it. It's launched for sharing videos, basically. Launched on February 2005. And these were just a few examples. There are many, many more out there. Do be careful when you want to use them. Be aware of the negative side, but they could be used in a positive way. Thank you. Okay, that takes us to the next feature. It's Claire and Walking with Elephants.
Manchester artist Oliver East is doing the Elephant Walk, that is, a 200-mile walk from Edinburgh to Manchester Museum. Now that may sound a bit odd, but many of you will have seen the skeleton of the elephant Maharaja, which greets you as you walk into Manchester Museum. Maharaja was an elephant that belonged to the famous One Wells Menagerie that toured the country in Victorian times. When the menagerie closed in 1872, Maharaja was sold to Bellevue Zoological Gardens here in Manchester. As Maharaja was loaded onto the train at Edinburgh's Waverley Station, he objected and kicked his railway carriage to bits. With the elephant in disgrace and thrown off the train by railway staff, his keeper, Lorenzo Lawrence, decided they should walk the 200 miles to Manchester. Oliver East describes himself as a walking artist. Much of his work is about creating comic books. You may have seen his artwork also for the albums The Seldom Seen Kid and Builder Rocket Boys by the Manchester band Elbow. Oliver has been commissioned by Lakes International Comic Arts Festival and Manchester Museum to undertake a project called Take Me Back to Manchester. Between the 8th and 17th of April, this sees him retracing the steps of Maharaja and his keeper by walking from Edinburgh's Waverley Station all the way to Manchester Museum, where he will arrive on the 17th of April after the last leg, which takes him from Bolton to Manchester. Today is the 10th of April and he is completing day 3's walk from Howick to Lancombe. Oliver will create a comic book, also titled Take Me Back to Manchester, from the artwork he produces en route, and a documentary following the project is being made by Cumbrian filmmakers Don Bush and Simon Sylvester. The film will be premiered at the Brockhall Visitor Centre in the Lake District between the 8th and 17th of May, and then taken to the Toronto Comic Art Festival later in the month. Let's hope then that the weather holds out for the rest of the walk. Back home, Oliver will then be making 20 large-scale drawings to form the basis of an exhibition with the skeleton of Maharaja that will take place next spring at Manchester Museum. You can follow the progress of the project live on Twitter at the hashtag ElephantWalk, where you can find out more about Oliver's work at his website, olivereast.com.
Okay, coming up towards the end of the show, but before we finish, a little bit of information about gigs coming up over the coming week. One thing that's particularly excited me is the reunion tour by Curved Air, 70s legends. They're playing the Waterside Arts Centre Sale tomorrow, Saturday. The gig, it's £16 advance, £18 on the door. I'm going to hand over to Ray to give you a little glimpse of what else is going on over the next few days.
Okay, thanks for that, John. Yes, so these gigs are followed by local bands in the area, starting with this Saturday, the 11th of April. We've got the Hats live at the Punch Bowl in Atherton. That's a free entry, and the great thing about this particular band, not only are they good live, they actually all individually wear a hat, so there you go. And the same night is we've got YK Operators, or commonly known as YKO. They're playing at the Witchwood, supporting the usual suspects in Ashton on the Line, and that's £5 on the door for that gig, so get to that one. On the 18th of April, we've got Bush Art, a local band. They're playing at the Rose and Crown in Clitheroe, which is part of the Into the Valley Festival. Again, that's a free entry, so go along and support them. The 24th of April, we've got YKO again at the Nelson in Failsworth. They're supported by Randolph, Swain and the Red Lights. They're from Whitefield, two great local bands there, for Freeman's. Yeah, you don't have to pay a penny there apart from your beer. Friday the 22nd of May now, we've got King Solomon Sound System meets ITEL Ebony Sound System at the Zoo in Grosvenor Street in Manchester. That's a fiver. Go along and see and support some great dub-style reggae there, which would be brilliant, great sound systems there. And to finish off, on Sunday the 24th of May, Moston's own very impressive Mindfest Festival, featuring Death to the Strange and From Carbon, who are also from Failsworth. The tickets for that gig is £12 on the door. It starts at 11 a.m. till 11 p.m. I can't mention all the other acts because there's so many, so I suggest you go to the website for that. And that concludes this week's gig guide. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to thank you and everyone involved in the 15th hour. Let's end the show with the brand new single by ex-Audio Web frontman Super Jammer with their new single, We Run Things.
You're listening to FCUM Community Radio.